while the Energy Department's Federal Energy Management Program Office doesn't have a big budget, it can't pay for an energy-efficient roof for an agency to make its building LEED Platinum. But what FEMP can do is use its Assisting Federal Facilities with Energy Conservation Technologies, or AFECT, get it, program. It gives agencies just enough boost to get a project from concept to reality. Tim Unruh is the director of FEMP. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about the AFECT program and how it can be a springboard to larger green government efforts.
What this program is it's a grant opportunity where FEMP receives a certain amount of funding to award to agencies in a competitive fashion for projects that will help improve their energy efficiency or help them move towards meeting the goals established in the executive order or in statute. So we've been using this program to help agencies focus their efforts and get some projects that use both agency funding and the FEMP funding, or potentially even private sector funding through performance-based contracts, to help enhance their energy efficiency or to improve their renewable energy profile.
$3 million doesn't sound like a whole lot of money when you think about how many federal facilities there are across the country, but I imagine a lot can get done with such a little bit of money. Talk a little bit about the process by which agencies apply and then how you kind of decide to award the funding to the individual agencies or facilities.
So you're right. The total budget for this program is not that large. $3 million in this year, the previous award was about $5 million. That money does not have the ability to pay for entire projects. So one of the key pieces that's required in statute is that we look for ways to leverage that money with agency appropriations as well as with private sector dollars. And so what we use the program for is to try to spur development. As we all know, when there's a small incentive out, the small incentive can often have a larger impact because people need that additional money to help ease a project just over the finish line to make it financially viable or life cycle cost effective. And so what we use this money for is to help entice agencies to get a project put together, get it ready to go, so that it can be bid and built and we can get the savings.
So interesting that this is kind of seed money, or as you said, push the program over the top. Talk about where this money has gone so far. You said last year was $5 million, this year is $3 million, just about $2.85 million. Talk a little bit about what that money's been used for. I guess you guys just recently announced several projects that are under consideration, or at least have been funded. I think there's four projects: state, agriculture, justice, defense.
So let's talk about the projects we just awarded. The overall funding that we gave out was $2.85 million, but that funding then will cause projects amounting to about $75 million to be built. These are projects that will just be going into the procurement, construction, design phase, where they'll turn into real projects after they've gone through a period of development as well as construction. You're right, we had one at the State Department. That is our largest award this year, and it's for about a 12-megawatt solar photovoltaic system for many sites in one of the State Department's regions. That particular project is really exciting because one of our goals with this money is that we want to find out if we can help leverage one project to cause other projects to happen. And the State Department is a great example of that. There's an opportunity that if this project can go well for the State Department in their one region they're doing this in, it could lead to about $300 million of other projects to other regions within the Department of State. So it's a great opportunity to leverage the money for this individual project, but also to help the agency develop the process, procedure, and understanding to do this at other locations as well.
Tim, let me just jump in real quick on that, only because I wanted to just ask about the State Department. Because so in many ways, this is a pilot, a test to see, hey, if this works, can we expand it out? That's what do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so the State Department's project has a wrinkle to it in that it's covering many different sites in many different countries. So when they put together projects like that, coordination often is a challenge, getting the projects to happen at a similar time frame, getting people to coordinate their efforts and work together to make that happen. In the Department of State, some of the rates that are being paid by these locations is about 40 cents per kilowatt hour, where the national average right now is somewhere around 10 cents a kilowatt hour in the United States. So there's a great opportunity to reduce costs through these solar photovoltaic installations.
Very nice. Let's talk about some of the other projects you guys awarded.
So another project we awarded is the Department of Agriculture Forest Service, and that also is a photovoltaic system up in Washington and Oregon. And that one there, we're about 50% of the cost. So our funding and the USDA's funding is about equal in this case. What's interesting about this one is FEMP has other services we offer to agencies, and one of those services is called REOPT. That's performed by the National Renewable Energy Lab, NREL, out in Colorado. And the REOPT analysis does a study of a site to find out what is the best optimal mix of renewable energy technologies with the incentives of the location, with the regional renewable portfolio, and what is the best way to get that site to have a renewable footprint. We call that a REOPT study. And the Department of Agriculture had a REOPT study done by FEMP, and that REOPT study then led to this project. Another project we had was with Department of Justice, with the Drug Enforcement Administration. And that one there is about is just under a megawatt size. It's 788 kilowatts. And it is with the Drug Enforcement Administration down in Texas. And that's an opportunity for them to put their first renewable energy system within DEA's footprint. And then our last project is with the Marine Corps Installation Command. And that is a 10 megawatt site in Georgia. And that opportunity for us is for biomass. And so they are going to install a biomass and use the local wood source to help fund, to help power a system to provide energy for their site.
All right. All of them are pretty cool. All of them are a little different. And they're all part of kind of this push, as you said, that the White House, President Obama, issued that challenge to agencies to use more renewable energy. Give me a sense of that 30% goal. How much do projects like these help push agencies toward meeting that goal?
Let's be honest with ourselves that just a few projects really does not have a measurable impact in a goal in an organization as large as the federal government. But what we hope that these projects can do, as we talked about some of the leveraging we saw, is to help prove that we can get this done, help agencies work through the procurement process, because many times these procurements are somewhat different than standard procurements. First of all, they may be buying some new renewable type technologies, but they're also going through a, in most of these cases, a performance-based contract, which has a different procurement cycle than standard procurement. And so by doing these projects, agencies learn the process, understand the mechanism, and become comfortable with it such that the future ones happen more rapidly. So what we hope is that the impact on that 30% goal, which was from the old statutes that ended in 2015, that energy reduction goal begins to improve because we're educating agencies and providing pathways and assistance and changing the culture so that we can make these projects happen faster. Just so we all are on the same page, you know, we did have a new executive order come out back in March of 2015 that changed our goals for the future because the 30% goal you referred to ended at the end of fiscal year 2015, and beginning in fiscal year 2016, we have the new executive order goal, which is a 25% reduction over the next 10 years from 2015 basically through 2025.
In part two of his interview with executive editor Jason Miller, Unruh discusses the focus of the EFFECT program for 2016.
We hope that it'll come out around mid-April timeframe, and that as that comes out, we hope that we can have it focus on using performance-based contracting to get smaller projects done in the federal government. What we see happening is that performance-based contracts are sometimes missing the smaller facilities. And the smaller facilities we see have a lot of opportunity. And so if we can develop a program, and we have one called Enable to help smaller facilities do performance-based contracting, if we can have those projects grow, we can begin to hit those small buildings and get them more efficient. And so we think that in 2016, we'll offer a proposal to get smaller projects through our Enable program and ESBC funding.
Are agencies excited? Are they into this? I mean, are you getting more responses than you could handle?
We did have more projects apply for the money than what we had money to give out. And so there were some projects that looked like good projects that we just did not have funding to be able to support. And that's probably always going to be the case, that we have many more things we'd like to do than what we actually can get done with the money we have. When you talk about some of the ways and the excitement that we may see out at agencies, I'd like to talk maybe about the Marine Corps Installation Command. One of the things that this project helps them with is it helps them with their mission. One of their goals is to achieve a net zero status for their sites. And what they're after in that net zero status is to improve the reliability and the resiliency of the site from an energy standpoint. By having their own on-site generation, they have the ability to have a better resiliency for their energy situation. So for this, it helps their mission, and we see other agencies in the same way looking for how does this fit into their mission, and how can we overall make this installation support us overall and help our facility be more efficient, meeting the goals of the executive order as well as statute.
And I imagine that while this program is nice and good and it's helpful and it's great to have goals of, you know, 25% reduction, really most of these agencies are looking at this going, how do they cut costs? That's the big benefit. How do they, as you talked about with the Marine Corps, really impact their mission area versus just, can we meet some goals? Do you get that from when you read the responses to the RFPs or solicitations you guys put out? Is it all focused on mission for the most part?
Well, no, it's not always just mission. Sometimes it's really just it's the right thing to do. When you look at the opportunity that you can go to a photovoltaic system and reduce your dependence on fossil fuels, that's a great way for us to go. If you think of the Forest Service, them switching from fossil fuels to photovoltaic, ground roof, and carport photovoltaic, that fits along with the theme you would think a Forest Service would have, with preserving the environment. So it fits well with them. So what we see happening is we see the federal employees with the opportunity to make these projects happen, and they say, well, it does meet our goals, but also I see them saying it's the right thing to do.
And I think that's part of the discussion that's happening is with green government is I think agencies are understanding that you just can't, you know, plug into the wall and expect the electricity to come out all the time without understanding the bigger picture. Is that part of what FEMP is also trying to do, is help agencies understand that there is this bigger picture that they have to consider?
It is. And one of the ways we do that understanding is we offer a pretty comprehensive set of training that federal employees can come and take. We have a substantial amount of online training that is certified and high-quality education. We also have started an annual conference called the Energy Exchange, which allows federal employees to come and learn more about the impacts of the savings, how to get the savings, how to work through the procurement process. We have all different avenues that we help them understand how they can make these improvements, how they can move forward, and why it's important to do that, and then how it helps them meet their goals or help their mission.
You mentioned another piece of this is that, you know, agencies can kind of take the money that you guys award them, and sometimes that gets a project over the top. Many times they have to match funding, or they've already put a strong majority of the funding into it, and your money just helps out a little bit more. And then you mentioned the industry side, how maybe there's a industry role. Talk a little bit about what industry can do to get involved.
These particular projects, performance contracting or energy savings performance contracts, are the mechanism where industry is coming in. So while we supply some money to help the agency get some development or to help buy down or to help the project move forward, the private sector, through an energy savings performance contract, is coming in and providing the bulk of funds to make these projects work. So the private sector comes in and develops the project, finds the capital for the project, and builds the project with the oversight of the federal agency, and in most cases, really partnering with the federal agency to make sure that the installation is exactly what's needed. And then the private sector monitors and verifies the savings over the entire contract term to make sure that not only are we having a great project, but that it continues to perform over its entire life. Many of these projects can go on average about 17 years. So we have an opportunity that the private sector participates with those. And these are all part of the President's Performance Contracting Challenge, which ends at the end of 2016, where the President has challenged us to do $4 billion worth of performance-based contracts over a five-year period of time.
What kind of progress are you making against that? I know that the energy savings performance contracts have been, if you will, in the news recently a little bit. Talk a little bit about the challenges, but also the successes you're having with those types of contracts.
The challenges that we have with those contracts tend to be the procurement cycle. It's a different type of procurement that agencies are normally used to doing, because it's buying a project that at the beginning literally has no scope. The scope is developed by the agency and the energy service company as they develop the project. And so there's a new procurement process. It's a clearly laid out one, but it is different than most other things are purchased in the federal government. As far as the good side is, we've seen a significant amount of investment happen across the federal facilities. We have total awarded projects just a little over $2.5 billion so far, and we have a pipeline that's awarded plus expected to be awarded of about $5.5 billion. So we've really seen a growth in the use of this tool to improve our facilities and reduce government costs.
As you're using these to improve, does it have a long tail in terms of when you start to see the benefits from these types of contracts?
So there's a lot of benefits that occur when we do a contract like this. Initially, the savings begins to occur to the agency as soon as effectively construction is complete or as soon as the equipment is installed and begins operating in the term of energy savings. The cost savings accrue in different ways. In one way, the improvements made to the facility did not cost appropriations from Congress to make those improvements. So if a site needed a new boiler or a new building energy management system, those things are put in at no cost to the federal government. Then the savings is paid to the energy service company over a period of time, and then once the savings has paid off that capital investment, the federal government reaps the remainder part of that savings. We've also done some analysis that Oak Ridge National Labs has done where they found that there are also some peripheral benefits of these contracts that also benefit the federal government in a cost savings wise that goes beyond the contract value itself. So there's really a lot of opportunity in these contracts for the federal government, and leveraging these with the Federal Energy Efficiency Fund effect funding, the assisting federal facilities with energy conservation technologies, that leverages these performance-based contracts and, again, helps us to understand them better, do them more, and help us to have more savings in the end.
Tim Unruh is the director of the Energy Department's Federal Energy Management Program Office, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller.